Welcome to the Williams Niken YB Herton phone conference line.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello, hello. This is Ruth.
This is Donna.
Hi, Donna.
How are you doing?
It seems like I haven't heard your voice lately.
You haven't.
You've been off on a vacation?
No, just, no. I have no excuse.
Good morning, this is Margaret.
Good. Nice to hear your voice.
Thank you, it's good to be back.
Where have you been?
I've had some conflicts with some appointments.
Oh, okay.
Which might not be too bad.
Had to go fix the plumbing.
Monty's here.
Good morning, Monty.
Good morning.
Always good to hear your voice. Good to hear everybody's voice. That's a really nice thing about waking up in the morning and talking to friends all over the country. It's a good thing.
It's a good way to start the day.
Yes. Great. We're having heat here. It gets very cool. It still gets quite cool at night. Heat wave for us, anyway. If we get up to heat 80 here, it's a heat wave. Right, Monty?
Right on.
I can't tell what you said. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
I said right on.
Okay.
Good morning, this is Doug. I'm joining. Hear more about
good
digestion.
Morning. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning from Kathleen.
Good morning, Kathleen. Nice to have you here.
It's nice to be here.
Okay, I'm going to mute these chimes, and then we'll get started. Alrighty. Good morning, everybody. Nice to be talking, as I was saying earlier, and nice to be here talking with friends across the country. Nice and early in the day. I love the morning. So, we welcome you to Health Style. We have a mission to teach and support the practice of the habitual health style choices. Becoming more mind and body fit. The question is, how can you develop the practices of habitual health style choices, becoming more mind and body fit, if we don't even hardly know very much about our body? And I feel like, where have I been? How come I haven't even been not as very knowledgeable? Why wasn't I taught some of these things? Why don't I already know them? How could I get to this age and know so little? But first of all, let's look at our basics. We've been able to put together just with what we do know, and that's another story too. Once we know these things, are we using them? Are we doing them? Speaking to myself, especially. Certainly, I drink a lot of Pineag water, and we all do. Many of us sleep on the Niken sleep system so that we have earth energy while we're sleeping. Since we are really quite separated from it in many of our homes and the buildings and the cement of the city, are we exercising all these 10 points, including nutritionals and journaling, and then our meals and our exercise. So the first thing is knowing the things, and then the second thing is taking the action when we have found out about it. Now, Mary Lou really wanted somebody to say something to me? Okay. But maybe you can't hear me or something. Mary Lou really wanted me to put these warning signs on, and I had to agree with her. And as we learned about soy, more about soy, that we wasn't any, a good idea for us to be eating it, especially to be feeding it to our children. And so here is our warning sign. Caution, may be harmful to your health. Recommended investigating effects on health. This is not what we're talking about today, but this is just a little part of our daily choices with our foods. And we had somehow been misled with the idea that the Japanese were so healthy because they were eating so much soy, and have been taught that they are not. That is not true. And they use the fermented type, which is a different story, I guess. So I certainly have eaten drank with soy-based protein foods, drinks, more than my share of soy. And I'm sure some of the rest of you have as well. And so do my children. So that's kind of scary. Okay, so we have our food choices, and I should just put this on a view so we can go ahead. And I'm not going to cover all of these things, but these charts are available on our website, which is ybhurton.com, that being the Y, letter B as in boy, and then hurt, H-U-R-T, and an N.com, N as in Nikan. Okay, so we have our acid alkaline, which we have talked about, and we have had our warning signs, and those should be just big, big warning signs. I should just make a triangle for the NutraSweet and aspartame. I didn't even put aspartame up there. I refuse to put it on a food chart. Poison chart. We should have a poison chart, but those little triangles, though, represent a poison chart. So, wish that all of you could get on and see the web pages, but we'll do our best to be descriptive. Okay, so we have been talking yesterday. We started talking about to digest and absorb or not. Our reference is primarily Dr. Blaylock. He writes at drblaylock.newsmax.com, and if you are subscribed to his newsletter, then you can get on there and read his reports, which are any one report is about 1 year education in college, I think. But I'm also thinking that why didn't we learn more about this in school, in high school at least? But I think the best place to begin teaching it, of course, is preschool. My own philosophy, begin at birth. As I'm thinking this is a little bit off the subject. We should be teaching in our elementary schools a way for people to choose the different sciences and study them more in depth. But, so today, we're going to make up for lost time. And look again at digesting. We talked about this quite a bit yesterday. And I want to just say, in case you weren't here, we covered just basically the GI tract and its different parts, not in detail, but that the fact that the GI tract serves as the first line of defense in our body, and that it is the largest component of the immune system. I was shocked when I read that. I had no idea. That within the walls of the immune system, the lymphatics and the lymph zones, that we are exposed to all the germs and the pollutants and the toxins of the environment, and so our GI system is our largest immune system. And so Dr. Blaylock talks quite a bit in his 2005 about the upper GI tract, and I thought this is a great picture here with all these different parts. I don't know if we want to ask any questions about them. Otherwise, if not, I probably won't go through them. We did talk about drinking water with our meals, and having been taught that we shouldn't, because it would dilute the GI, the gastrointestinal juices in our stomach. But he said that we should have some water. Probably shouldn't dilute ourselves like I used to do, about 4 or 5 glasses a meal, but some water, because it helps break the food down into smaller parts. And also talked about increasing the moisture in your mouth, and that would be helped by using lactoferrin. And Dr. Nagy taught us about that, that would help. And I think on an individual basis, some people who had dry mouth. So, the other thing that we learned from, I don't know how we can ever get through even the upper GI tract here, that we have all these bacteria in our mouth, and that they contribute to heart attack and stroke risk, because get into the blood vessels, into the heart, into the arterial system, and make plaque. Because when they get in there, then our body brings help. They are strange, and they have to be attacked. And that attacking is called inflammation. It's protection, but then as it goes on and continues, and it makes the plaque is from the inflammation. Because of the attack of the bacteria or in the blood vessels. So we went into that a little bit more yesterday, but we're not going to go ahead with that today. One thing about the bacteria in your mouth is that the more sugar you're eating, that would be more bacteria. And that would include all kinds of sugar, any kind of, whether it's just from white bread or white flour or the things that as we chew our food that that it turns into sucrose, into glucose, and sugar. Any questions about from yesterday's call? Can everybody hear me? It's so quiet.
Can you hear you?
Yes. Yes, we're fine.
Oh, you guys are really quiet. Okay. So from now, one of the things to be mentioned is if you want some protection, well, we've been talking about swishing with coconut oil, but we have, and I think all of you are aware of the danger of the mercury in our teeth from the amalgam fillings. I hope that's how you say that, amalgam. And when you have this mercury in our mouth, a small amount of it is absorbed by the olfactory nerves and in the nasal cavities, and from there it enters in the same area of the brain that causes Alzheimer's. Mercury-laced fillings should be removed by a trained dentist. They have certain dentists that are trained with to remove those fillings. And there's a list of International Association of Oral Medicine and Toxicology website has a list of trained dentists. So that those can be removed, and they replace them, I think, with porcelain ones or ceramic. Ceramic, yeah, that's the word. So, okay, I'm not going to cover that any more than that. You can beat acid reflux. Now, I want to cover this. If people have it so much, I want to cover it a little bit, but just say a couple of things about it. A very common mistake people make is to take antacids such as Tums, Maalox, or Rolaids. This only makes things worse, since the calcium in these products actually stimulates the acid release. So, he says, instead, use curcumin and hesperidine. Those bolster the mucus production in the lining of both the esophagus and the stomach, providing protection against the acid reflux. And he also mentioned that most citrus fruits, especially in the spongy envelope of oranges and lemons, have a protection as well. So, Okay, so anybody want to say anything that you know or can share, not just personal experience, though, that about having it, but if you have a question about, I don't know that I can answer that much about acid reflux, but maybe if you have a problem, then somebody else would be able to share what has helped.
Ruth, what were the two things you said you can use for that?
Well, curcuminin is the one that that I'm most familiar with. I'm not sure what this other one is yet. I didn't have time to check that out, or I didn't check it out anyway.
What's the name of it?
It's Hesperidin, H-E-S-P-E-R-I-D-I-N.
Okay, so, thank you.
You're welcome. So I think a lot of times that people, well, I don't know, the acid reflux comes up in your throat, I think, into the esophagus. But there's another problem I think is probably more common, and that is just a lack of hydrochloric acid, and so your stomach stops digesting. And actually, I was having quite a problem with that. I have had from ever. The way that you can find out if that's what the problem is just when your stomach hurts, and you can drink a little very mild mixture of and just a small amount of apple cider vinegar and water, and it just feels wonderful when you drink it. Probably if you had the acid problem, I guess it probably wouldn't, but most of the time it's because of too little acid is a problem, so there's a little bit of difference. Stomach has two main functions. Number one, killing the dangerous organisms that arrive at the food we eat. So I was shocked to know that most of our meals are contaminated with a variety of germs, including viruses and bacteria and fungi. If these organisms are not killed, they can potentially overpower the GI tract, making us very sick. That's why the stomach produces hydrochloric acid, HCl. And that's what's in the apple cider vinegar. And of course, I have capsules, so that I frequently use those. So the stomach produces the hydrochloric acid, but as we age, it diminishes. And so it's a primary method of killing those germs. This substance also helps us absorb things like iron, so helps us to absorb our food. Now then, looking on to the rest of the digestion, that covers kind of the stomach. Well, let's look at this one page. Fighting gastritis, which would be any of those problems. Take supplements to combat and I'm not sure what the H stands here, the pylori, one of the bacteria. So maybe that would, I'm not sure what that is. Avoid hot or spicy food. So anybody ever eat spicy food? Anybody ever eat hot food? I love to eat hot food because I'm always cold. Not so much since I started eating all these avocados and coconut fat, makes a huge difference. Stay away from alcohol. Well, I'll have to work on that. I'm kidding you guys, anybody who's listening. I don't drink. Don't take non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. These include Advil, ibuprofen, aspirin, etc. If unable to avoid, use a transdermal form on your skin, or take curcuminin and the quercetin, Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N. Well, if you guys want to know how to pronounce these, I have a pronunciation guide. It's called dictionary.com. And some of them I've got in here, but I didn't do these from yesterday.
Quercetin.
Pardon me?
It's pronounced quercetin.
Thank you, Kathleen. Quercetin. And do you know what quercetin is, Kathleen? Or somebody?
No. I've taken it for years, but I can't describe it.
Okay. What do you take it for?
digestion.
If I might ask, for that better digestion.
Uh-huh.
Okay. DGL capsules. Probably a digestive capsule that's like hydrochloric acid capsules. 2 capsules 3 times a day plus 2 at bedtime. And those, we take our diets and digestion, a lot, many of us. I certainly take them with every meal. Well, I don't always take them at lunch. I take them a morning and evening. And I've been taking one, but I decided to boost it up with 2 since I was having a problem. For some reason, I don't even have any idea why I suddenly had a problem. It's mostly all gone now. I don't know. Maybe one of those bugs got loose in my digestive system. So, other things, I use antioxidant vitamins with food. I feel like all of our supplements should be treated as food. And so we eat the supplements that we take, which are many here at our house, very many, with our meals. Chew your food thoroughly. Dr. Blaylock did say that we take a couple of chomps and expect our food to be ready for the stomach to finish the job. And so that's another one that I have to watch out for. Chomp, chomp, down goes the lettuce. Chomp, chomp, down goes the apples, whatever else it is. And so trying to focus on chewing more thoroughly so our poor stomach doesn't have such a difficult job of turning our food into the mush and the fluid type of residue that is to be left to go on to the rest of the digestive system. And the lower digestive system, I can tell you, really complains when it gets undigested food. So as I have on the first page, the first part of our system is the digest part, and then the second part is our absorb part. Anybody have any questions or comments at this point? You guys know all this stuff. Once the symptoms subside, you'll need additional digestive enzymes with each meal. Well, that's certainly true of me. Anything else? Any foods that you eat with many enzymes?
Ruth, I have one comment to make. Did you know there's 2 types of acid reflux? One you do not get heartburn with, and that's a tonic I have.
Okay. No, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. And you can have it and not even know it, which I find
okay. Maybe you could tell us what causes acid reflux, Donna.
I don't know. I should know, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's... Yeah, go ahead, Monty.
What is the 2 types of acid reflux, Donna?
Well, the kind I have, well, I was coughing up like a lot of mucus at nighttime, and I did not have any effects. I didn't have heartburn or indigestion or anything. And at night, I go, well, this is my experience, at night I go through a whole box of Kleenex all night long. I'd be coughing up mucus. And just 2 weeks before I started taking medication, which I'm trying to get off now, I had the most severe heartburn, and I never had had it before. And even Melanta wouldn't even help it. But and that's the form I have. And acid reflux also causes asthma.
Okay, so did you, Donna, stop eating something? Did you find that something that you were eating, like Dennis was having a lot of mucus problem and he stopped drinking or using any kind of milk products, which he had already been tested and said that he was allergic to, but he still kept eating them. But when he stopped all that mucus. He stopped it.
Well, they suggest not eating anything with tomatoes in it, like tomato sauce, what else? You know, like spicy food and anything like coffee and things like that, and cola, you know, things like that, which I don't eat a lot of anyways, but...
I would suppose sugar might cause a lot of mucus as well. Those things that your body is mucus, I think, is generally a part of your immune system protection and all that. Remember when we first started out doing it, we did the diagram and we had the little tanks coming to fight? And so they bring on all their friends in for the war, and that war is a result of, the mucus is a result of the war between our immune system is, and they're fighting something. And it's something that's, so it's usually something that they don't like. And they think it's an enemy. And so that enemy might be something you're allergic to, like milk, or it might be something they know that you shouldn't be eating, like refined sugar and things like that, that it's just overwhelms your system.
I will say this, though. If someone has acid reflux, I would go the natural route. I went the medicine route because I didn't know what I know now. And now I'm trying to get off of it, and it's really, it's difficult because what happens when you go off of it, you have that much more mucus. So I'm really working on that.
So you're not able to relate that to something you're eating or drinking or breathing?
Well, I don't eat sugar anymore, and I don't eat dairy products.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'm still working on it. I'm gonna get there though, eventually.
You know, I'm questioning also. Maybe some of you can want to discuss something about this. Is the spicy foods? Avoid spicy foods. And I can understand not trying to burn your stomach, which I've done before, drinking things that are too hot. But I can understand that. But spicy food. That sounds like cayenne and all those peppers that everybody gets so happy. Healthy. I thought that people were getting healthy from these spices. I mean, we actually take cayenne pepper capsules. That's one of the things we take. So, does anybody have any idea why to fight gastritis, we would not want to have spicy foods?
I don't have any idea why we would avoid them. I know one of the things that I do know about spicy foods, in particular to metabolism, and that is when you eat spicy foods, like you say, the cucumber and the cayenne, which I eat every morning, usually when I have my scrambled eggs or whatever, and I do take a turmeric capsule, and that is a simple fact, is that it helps with metabolism and increases that, which is beneficial for me trying to lose weight. You know, I know that the spicy food is one of the things before my gallbladder was removed. If I ate spicy foods or anything, you know, or basically fat, different types of fats too, that affected my gallbladder, and I would have the gallbladder discomfort. But I don't know why you wouldn't, unless the only thing I could think why spicy foods might not be beneficial, and that is if you have acid reflux, that basically what happens is the flap that goes down to cover it once you swallow the food, and it goes into the stomach, then this flap comes up, and basically to stop the acid from coming back up into our esophagus, from there we get our heartburn or whatever, but I don't have any suggestions.
Okay, thank you, Monty. Yes, we take those curcumin and turmeric also, and cayenne. There's a whole book written about cayenne. We've been taking it for a long time. Okie doke. All right, so. Some of these things, parotid gland. Here is one of the provides the enzymes and helps your saliva. There's a saliva, more saliva glands all over here. And here's the little gallbladder. We've been talking about that quite a bit. Right here below, kind of tucked underneath the liver there. Another thing that I learned was that the liver. I guess I forgot. I would usually print out what I learned. The liver is the largest organ. And I couldn't quite figure. I thought the lungs were bigger than the liver, so I'm not sure why they said the liver, he said that the liver is the largest organ. So anyway, lots more to learn about those things. I think we're still not down to the digesting the lower tract. But enzymes are the spark that starts the engine with a little bit of information, and reduce inflammation by using the flavonoids and in addition to vitamins E, C, D, and K. We'd have to have more time to talk about that. Bloating, gas, pain, gas, and prolonged abdominal discomfort eating a meal are strong indicators of poor enzyme function. Again, we go back to suggesting our digestion, which digests the four different food groups that I think Mary Lou covered that a bit on another day. So take additional enzyme supplements with each meal, one or two capsules with each meal. So anyway, so that would be that. And then sometime, maybe next week, we will look more at the lower digestion and more about absorption. So forever, I've been teaching about what you eat. It depends on how it was grown, how it was harvested, how long ago it was harvested, how long it was in the refrigerator, how long it was transported, how long it was in the refrigerator, how many times it was cooked, and then it would depend on your digestion, and then it would depend on your absorption, whether or not your body is getting the nutrients it needs. And so that is why, a big reason why we take supplements. And we think that Nikan has very, very great supplements. They might not have all the supplements we need, and talking about some of these enzymes and hydrochloric acid and different things that we learned about. They have products that we know that are the superior to other products because they won't produce them if they're not. And so they don't produce some of these others because there's already good ones on the market. So anybody have any questions or comments before we close for the day? Actually, this is when we begin our most discussion, most of the time. Anything that you'd particularly like to know about digestion? You need help with anything?
All of it. That's why we're listening so hard.
Right. That's exactly what I was thinking.
So how interested are you in learning what these different body parts do?
Very.
I want to know how to pronounce them. I want to know what they're for. Look at this poor mouth. We have so many things. I mean, we have the tongue. It certainly looks fatter than I thought it was. The sublingual, I thought that sublingual was an adjective, so I'm trying to figure that out. Salivary glands here, sorry. And the thyroid cartilage all the way down the throat. I didn't know that. So it just seems like there's so many things to learn. The trachea, the larynx, we probably know those. I think I had a pronunciation for that. I know what it is. But how to say it again, Kathleen?
Epiglottis.
Epiglottis. I think there's another glottis around here somewhere. I shouldn't be trying to say these. Oral pharynx, the parotid gland, and that is that right below the ear here, and it looks very, very big. And I didn't even know that it was there. So this is what makes me feel like, where have I been? Cerebral nerves. I don't know why they're all there together. Soft palate, eustachian tube, and the nasopharynx. All in the middle of our jaw and neck. So there are certainly a lot of things and a lot of pronunciation practice for me. So I don't know. I'm interested in knowing all these, but maybe everybody isn't. Maybe everybody is because you're on this call. So
Donna, I think it's good to know because all the Neekin products help with all these things, you know, body, you know, all these, everything.
Thank you, Donna. Now, this is where I come from saying that we should have started learning all these things. And I suppose we did have a little start in elementary school and in high school, but if we should match them up with what we need to do about them. How can we protect our esophagus? How do we protect our lungs? That's in the diagram on the slide. Our diaphragm, what does it do, and how can we protect it, and what should we do about it to help it? And so we should have some games to play so that our children and grandchildren learn these at an earlier age.
I find the more I understand, the better I am at staying with what is good for me. If I understand the connection between what I'm putting into my body and what's going to happen to it, or the symptoms I feel, like non-digestion, once I understand it, I'm a lot better at staying the course.
That is a really good point, and a really good point to teach. When we're in charge of teaching children, whether that is at home, I think home is always a school. Whether they're also going to school or not, I think it still needs to be taught at home. But the more that they understand, I would think that they're less likely they would be to damage themselves with drugs and poor food choices and that type of thing.
Yes.
Okay, everybody, I don't know if this is very much of a discussion, but a little bit, and thank you for the discussion that we have had. And we'll be ready for Monty tomorrow. And Monty, do you want to announce what you're discussing? We're discussing tomorrow, or you're teaching us?
Right now, I'm searching. I mean, I'm searching my mind, even what I want to talk about tomorrow.
Okay,
honestly.
We know it will be good. If you find something that you want a slide for, send me the pictures, and I'll pop it on the slide.
Ruth.
Yes, Karen?
I have not been able to get onto the WebEx, or whatever you call this, for two mornings now, and I don't know why. But anyway, I just thought I'd ask you while we have it up there.
Okay. I've been using, I had some trouble, and I sent a letter out, and it had a link that in the letter, and I'll send out a link, a letter with a link in it, because it makes it so easy if you can save that in your, just in a file. So it's really easy to find, click, and you're in. And I really like that. So I'll send out a link.
Well, see, I go into your Natural Reflections and I click on recorded seminars. Maybe there's something wrong with my computer, but I just can't get it to come up.
I can't either, actually. maybe there's something wrong with the YB Hurton site. I'll tell them. I did tell them, but I'll tell them again that you're having a problem making that work as well.
Yeah, okay.
And it would definitely be good to be able to is there anybody else coming in to by going to YB Hurton? And
yes, I'm in that way today.
Okay, thank you, Doug.
Through the meetings, 7 o'clock meeting, and it takes a little bit of time to get through it, but my computer's slow and it got there eventually.
Okay, thank you, Doug. So it still does work. It works on Dennis's, but it doesn't work on mine either. So I'm not sure what happened to it.
Ruth?
One thing by Karen is turning your computer off and back on again. Yes?
Ruth, I heard Karen say she clicks on recorded webinars.
Yeah.
And she has the very bottom, not to the recorded webinars.
It's the very bottom. But I've always clicked on that before.
It's the last item in the call, in the choices. Yes, thank you, Mary Lou.
Mm-hmm. Every morning I come in through ybhurton.biz.
Oh, okay, good.
Ruth?
And, yes?
Hi, this is Linda from Lakewood. I have a quick question, and it may have been mentioned before, but I would love for us to talk about the benefits, pros, and cons of ingesting water that is room temperature versus refrigerated, what that does to our bodies.
Okay, we want to discuss it. I mean, we're not going to discuss it.
No, on a future time, because I've heard a lot of pros and cons, and I just wanted to know, is it better to use our waterfall and just leave it room? Is it better for us to ingest room temperature water? Or is there a problem with drinking refrigerated water?
This is Kathleen. One thing I know about that is if you drink the chilled water, your body has to spend all the energy to warm it before it can really utilize it.
And that's what I've heard, yes. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I have heard as well. So thank you,
okay.
Kathleen. And
thank you.
However, sometimes we need cooled enough that if it's hot enough out there, probably Mary Lou down there in Arizona, that it might be an effective method of cooling our body, and that's sometimes necessary.
Yes,
and not only that. Probably if I drank at room temperature all the time, I probably wouldn't drink as much as I do. So I do kind
of you're drinking it cold?
I'm drinking it cold, and we even make ice cubes out of our waterfall.
Yeah,
maybe maybe we won't be doing that in the winter, but we do it now.
Okay. So it's somewhat an individual situation answer, Linda, so I hope that's helpful for you.
Thank you, guys. That was wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. Everybody, we'll talk with you tomorrow. Have a great day. Enjoyed having you along here.
Great call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome.